put in?
I'd like to call the Osage Nation Congressional Appropriations Committee meeting to order. The date is March 29th. The time is 11 p.m.
What? A.M.?
A.M., sorry. A.M., of course. Roll call.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Maker.
Here.
Congressman Norris. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Here.
Speaker Pratt.
Here.
Congressman Shaw.
Here. Congressman Norris had notified me that he's attending a panel today, so he's absent from the Congress. Congressman Tillman, could you render a morning prayer?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we again come to you with our heads bowed, and we ask for your blessings, your grace, and your mercy bestowed upon us as we move forward with the decisions of the nation. Protect all the people, Father, who are in mourning. Protect all the men and women in uniform. Be with our elders and our infants. Watch over and protect us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
The quorum present. Next item is approval of minutes. We have minutes attached to the agenda from March 9th. Chair, entertain a motion to approve the minutes or make changes.
Did you? I move to approve the minutes of March 9th as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Motion made second to approve the minutes as submitted to March 9th. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of approving the minutes from March 9th as submitted, say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Opposed, say no. March 9th minutes are approved. We have one item of business on today's agenda. Consideration of ONCA 1736 and act to amend section 3 and 4 of ONCA 1658 to remove the requirement of approval of a capital budget by resolution of Congress and to establish an alternate effective date. I am the sponsor. And as chair of this committee, I would normally relinquish the chair to vice chairman, but that is, as I recall, Chairman Norris. Norris. And so he's out at a funeral. Who is it?
I think it's Maria.
Oh, good. Okay.
Oh.
I think that may have been another year. He was maybe vice chair. No.
Okay.
Sorry about the confusion. So I'd like to relinquish the chair to vice chair Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Okay. This bill, as you said, is yours. I believe it's making some amendment to ONCA 1638. Okay. Yeah, 58. So the floor is yours, Congressman Shaw.
Okay, thank you. As you may recall, there was a repeal and replace. Not the Affordable Care Act, but the Capital Asset Improvement Revolving Fund that was accomplished in 1658 here. And as you can see, the title says it was a complete repeal and replace, to set reporting requirements to So it's a restatement of the entire act, and there were a couple of places that once money was appropriated into that fund, required additional action of Congress before the funds could be expended. As you may know, that's been a point of contention. Some have said that perhaps that's unconstitutional. And the specific parts of that that say that are 3C, as you can see here.
Is this the original bill we're looking at?
Right here on the right is the original bill.
Okay.
So I put that up there just for ease of the committee. And so, if you look at 3C, it reads, expenditures out of the capital asset improvement fund shall be made by authorization of Congress upon presentation approval of capital budget consistent with the stated purpose of this act, which the implication is the capital budget has to be presented and approved. Later on, there's language that described as a resolution before the expenditures can be made. Money that's already been appropriated by the Congress. Okay, they're saying it can't be spent until authorization or presentation approval of the capital budget. And the next section says, D, no funds for any capital construction project may be expended out of that fund until a capital budget is prepared and approved by congressional resolution. Again, these two are related. 3C, 4D basically says the money's sitting there, but you can't spend out of it until you've also presented a capital budget that is approved by congressional resolution. And I really think that those, and you may remember last session, we were presented with two resolutions to approve monies for the Gray Horse Community Center, money that had already been appropriated. We had already had a cost estimate for that, and so it really seemed like an unnecessary step to many of us. Because money was there, but it required two acts of Congress to be able to spend it. Whereas ordinarily, it's one act of Congress, and then that money's ready to spend. There are other items inside this act, but this bill amends out 3D, 3C, and 4D. This one, and this one. So the amended portion now does not have, it takes out part of C, expenditures out of the capital asset improvement fund, and what's stricken is be made by authorization of the Congress upon presentation or approval of a capital budget. That's out. It simply reads shall be consistent with the stated purpose of this act, and this is what C now reads.
Why? My question is, why do you think it's necessary to take that language out? Because I don't know that it is.
Well, what happens is the resolution really revolves around approval of the capital budget for the project.
Well,
and I would say that the time to approve the capital budget is at the time of the appropriation. We got ahead of ourselves here with two projects, $4 million for Hominy with the no more than a cost estimate, certainly not a detailed capital budget, and also even for the Gray Horse Community Center. And so we put them in and still wanted additional information, and I would maintain that the time to get that detailed capital budget at the time of the appropriation consideration vote, rather than requiring a two-step process.
My question is, because I don't see that 3C is a two-step process. I view that as it's telling us that we need to have a capital budget to, let me look at it. It says, expenditures of capital assets improvement fund shall be made by authorization of Congress upon presentation of a capital budget consistent with the purpose of this act. I think that that's necessary to leave in there, because when legislation is brought to us, it's very, to me, it's clear, or maybe it's not so clear, and we need to clear that portion up, that we expect, even of ourselves, a capital budget to be presented when requesting an appropriation to that fund and the authorization of expenditure out of that fund. If it's removed, then I think, don't we go back just to the same thing other than the money being retained in it and spent on other purposes.
Well, like I said, I think the capital budget needs to be submitted along with the appropriation request.
We should make it say that, I think, instead of removing that.
Well, we do have, let's look at the other language in there. We have definitions, well, the whole, it's not in the book here. It does talk about capital budget. We have definitions means the cost estimates developed for the capital asset projects. We actually had cost estimates. You know, budget would make you think it's a very detailed document, whereas cost estimates are much more sketchy. I think it really depends on what the Congress is willing to use as support documentation for appropriation. I think a capital budget is support documentation for an appropriation request. I realize nowhere in here does it say you have to have a capital budget, but over here it's really saying that you can't spend out of monies you've appropriated until you get the capital budget. And again, that's how I see it as a part of the two-step requirement. This presentation approval ought to go in lockstep with the appropriation request henceforth. And we've done that before.
I guess my question is should, while we have this law up and we're in a session, should we try to make this capital asset law state what we're talking about, state that a part of requesting an appropriation for a capital project would be to present a capital budget upon request for appropriation. Otherwise, it's not going to be even considered by Congress. It's not ripe for consideration by Congress unless you can, and unless you have that piece.
I see what you're
saying.
That's
my question.
I see
because
what you're saying.
I thought that the part C where it starts with expenditures might add that protection, but I see right. What you're saying. That's just specific to expenditures out of the capital assets fund. I would like to explore some language to require a capital budget to accompany the appropriation request in this law. I don't know. We probably need Trey to see if we could. I don't see why we couldn't do that.
I would support that. I think that's reasonable. Con.
Oh, I am the chair, Congressman Walker.
Thank you. So. Well, I would support this like it is. I think it's better than what we have. I like the amendment. I like the idea of taking it a step further and working on it to protect future massive appropriations that aren't going to take place until years down the road. I've heard Congressman Supernaw talk about the creeks. They have a law that requires before any appropriations, there's got to be a plan. There's got to be a budget rather than like the Fairfax Community Center. That was a massive appropriation done years in advance without detailed planning, but there was detailed planning. I want to go that. But I would like to see something more in line with a budget for the design. And then once the design is done, that will have detailed cost estimates. That would entail a detailed budget. And then it could be a two-step process. And then the second step of the process would be appropriating the money for construction. So I would like to see us work on something like that. And then again, the Hominy Village stuff, that's another good example. Not a impugning motive or anything like that, but both of those have taken place shortly before election time, and it makes it extremely tough for decision makers to take a stand on what we really think may or may not be right without proper and adequate information in front of us. So I like this amendment better than the existing law. But I would like to see us put some stronger provisions in law that require a budget for engineering and design and then construction.
Okay. And I like that. I think we need to work on it a little bit more. I agree with you. Let me springboard off something that you said. I still think the purpose of the capital asset and improvement fund, though, is when we do have funds available, to have the ability to park money to accumulate for a project that we know is going to cost a lot of money, too. So we need to take that into consideration, too. To be able to, we know that we're looking towards something, so we have some money this fiscal year, and we need to park it in a fund to safeguard it. That's how I see funds to workforce, but that's more discussion. I'll recognize Assistant Chief Raycorn directly.
Good point.
Thank you. First, we appreciate the Congress and committee addressing this legislation. I think this entire effort, regardless of how it comes out so far, in our view, is a move toward constitutionality. I'm going to point out a couple of things. One, this word always gives me a little bit of heartburn because we use it as if it has a particular meaning. The U.S. government has the word authorization, but it's embedded in the Senate rules. We don't have, this word has no definition under Osage law. It's authorize and appropriate, but it bugs me because there is no foundation in any definition for what authorization means. So I don't want to get stuck on that, but expenditures out of the capital asset improvement fund shall be made by authorization. It should be made after appropriation by Congress.
Assistant Chief Raycorn, excuse me for interrupting, but I believe that the amendment we're working on, that language is out of there, so I don't think we need to belabor it.
Well, back to your point about, I'm addressing your point,
okay,
that perhaps this should stay.
I saw the error of my ways because I see that it addresses expenditures. So
okay.
I was having conversation. I'm off of that. I think that
okay.
The discussion has led to.
I think this is the key language that is the there has to be two goes at it before the executive branch can expend funds. This is the one that I think gives us constitutional heartburn. So forgive me if I was flogging a horse up here.
Right. That was just discussion.
Okay. But this is the one we really appreciate opening this up for discussion. We really appreciate the opportunity to express our position over there. I have a question. And I'll
excuse me, just one, hold your question. He's talking about Section 3C, Section 3C that has the term authorized, and I told him that it was not contained in the amendment, so we really don't need to discuss that, and then that we had more discussion about it being expenditure, so that's gone. So that's what this was. He's not sitting in a proper place, so he can't really see what we're talking about. Y'all?
I'm thinking about it.
Okay, so go ahead.
Briefly, and I'm kind of reading something into this, and the sponsor can correct me if I'm wrong, but part of what allow this to be brought up is that the Congress now has the assurance that those leftover monies cannot just be spent on something else. When the project that those monies are allotted to is finished, that money goes back to the Treasury. And that is part of that. My read is that that's part of the assurance Congress has that it won't be spent on some other capital asset project that is not articulated in some legislation that Congress has passed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any more discussion? Congressman Maker?
Yes, I see this as a safeguard for the Osage people's money. And I can say that in the past I have seen money go out of here for a project and there was no return of unspent funds, but I do know some of the projects will return the unspent funds after the engineers, architects, cost of materials, everything including the construction costs, the unspent funds will be returned to the treasury.
Thank you, Congressman Baker. Congressman Shaw?
One of the things that was brought up to me by constituent was that when we do it in the order we've done the last two major appropriations to that fund, we put an amount in and then get a detailed budget, architectural and mechanical estimate is that we're setting the maximum amount that can be paid for the project in advance rather than seeing what the project would cost and then getting an amount and then appropriating some, either 100% or some fraction of that estimate. You do it backwards. If you put, say, $4 million in it, then you start getting detailed cost estimates. What are they going to add up to? Probably around $4 million, what I would think.
Yeah.
And so we set ourselves up for not getting competitive estimates or construction costs, and we set the maximum amount up front. That's sort of theoretical, but I think it has some legitimacy to it. And so ideally, you get an estimate, look at it, and decide whether or not you thought that those were costs that you wanted to fund as a congressman.
Any more comment to the amendment, Congressman?
Is there a definition for capital budget?
Yes.
Yes, it's defined. Clerk, would you please?
I got the mouse. I have the mouse here. Let's see. No, it's over here, the old one. Capital, did you say capital?
Budget.
Budget.
So within that means the cost estimate developed for capital asset projects. Would the cost estimate include the detail that we're wanting, the detail we're looking for? Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
It hasn't. So what we used for the $4 million Hominy appropriation was what I recall was a cost estimate based on an over-the-phone description of the project. For Great Horse, it was the cost estimate that was in very broad terms based on cost per square foot and so forth by Mr. Cass. It's certainly not a architectural mechanical estimate.
Would maybe redefining the definition of capital budget help to solve some of the difficulties you were having with the language?
Well, I feel like we're leaving out a lot of the steps before we jump to a capital budget. I believe that really looking and scoping what we want to do, I think having a plan, as Congressman Walker pointed out that we've heard Congressman Supernaw tell us about, having a plan for what we want to do first to be able to scope the work. Okay, we're going to build X and we want it to be so many square feet and it's going to be on this piece of property. And starting just from the very beginning, defining before we get to the point that we're looking at a capital budget.
Well, I was just being stingy for my own personal reasons, not anything else. I just wanted to know what the definition was.
Right. I think it's very broad. I think it's a broad definition that can mean many things by anyone's interpretation. It's pretty broad. Mm-hmm. Assistant Chief.
Two quick points. To your comment about taking it slow and taking it incrementally in terms of project development, it's exactly what we're doing. And you're going to see in a budget that I think will be filed either tomorrow or the next day, hopefully tomorrow, that's exactly the approach we're taking. We're looking for studies, we're looking for examinations, we're looking for highest and best use, we're looking for mechanical, electrical, and plumbing assessments, we're looking for structural assessments. We're doing it right. We're doing it one step at a time. And we're asking for funding one step at a time. To Congressman Maker's point, I think I may be telling you something you already know, the executive branch just returned to the Treasury $376,000 that was unused out of prior projects. And that was from several projects. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes. I was going to ask Mr. Cass, but he was unable to be here, he had prior obligation, was that my understanding based on conversations with him is that 1658 was passed after the appropriation to for the Hominy Village projects, which was Arbor, Community Center, Site Development, and so forth. And it is their opinion that that appropriation does not require additional action by the Congress because of the timing of 1658's passage and veto override. I just mentioned that. I'm not saying anything needs to be done about it, but that had to do with funding. And that was a large appropriation. Gray Horse occurred after that, so that's why we needed a resolution. That's why they submitted a resolution for that. Same thing with the Chief Claremore statute. They occurred afterwards. So any appropriation or projects that occurred before the veto override date would be not subject to requiring additional action from the Congress, including capital budget or resolution.
Congressman Walker.
So I think we could consider doing something like this, and we could really strengthen this capital asset and improvement fund. I think we could look at defining something, a conceptual design, which most projects should start out with a conceptual design, define that. And then conceptual designs normally produce some sort of design estimate. After that, the next step would be a PS&E package, which should be required prior to a capital budget being passed.
And please tell me what a PS&E budget is.
PS&E package is plan, specifications, and estimate. And those are the result of an actual engineer or an architectural process. So once the PS&E package is complete, then you can actually have a legitimate capital budget. And I would like to see us work on that and strengthen this capital asset improvement fund by putting those definitions and setting up that process. And I'll be glad to help.
I like that idea. So just as one member on the committee, even though I'm sitting in the chair, I support taking out the second stop resolution. I think that that's crazy. And we saw it in action this last special session, and I think we all were saying, what? So I support this amendment, what you have, but I really do support the idea of working on the Capital Asset and Improvement Fund and strengthening it. If the sponsor wants to work through what you have on the table here, or that would be my question.
I think we could, I'm happy to have this postponed while we work on some additional language, including perhaps an improved definition of capital budget, perhaps some requirements for what needs to be in place before appropriations to the Capital Asset Improvement Fund.
And then I guess my next question would be, since you just have Section 3 and 4 open for amendment, can we I guess we could expand that with a committee substitute, quite possibly, yeah, to open it up. Congresswoman Edwards?
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, I just introduced some legislation that's looking for a holding space. And in fact, when I have sponsored legislation in the past, I've always thought of it, and I thought of the Capital Asset Fund as sort of a holding spot. But I don't think it really is that, because then it turns into, if it doesn't need a budget and it doesn't have anything further in order to spend it, that wasn't really my thought process when I said, let's have a placeholder. So if this isn't going to be a place where you put money that is going to collect over time for a project, and then there's going to be those kinds of things that you need, then I need something else, and that's why you'll see a bill that I filed today and a bill that I'm going to read in tomorrow, that because we're still racing to the podium for the money, you know, I'm trying to set up some funds for some long-term capital projects, namely a new clinic and an addition to the museum, that I need someplace to put on. And if this is changing that concept, and maybe I misread how this concept worked, then I won't be supporting putting money for those projects into the fund. But I need a place to hold money, because I want them to be able to utilize it to get matching funds and to have in an expression of, okay, these are the capital projects that are going next, because if you don't do that, then it's just somebody's idea that day. So that's my only comment.
Congress, okay, I'm going to go to the table and I'll go last on the table. Speaker Pratt.
I will bring up the a piece that I filed, and I would say that it pretty much falls in line with what RJ or Congressman Walker is talking about, because I don't feel that I've ever raced to a podium, and I think that I that this what you all are discussing and asking has taken place. So I guess I need to run back and dig more into what PS and E is, but I believe we have all these documents. So that would be a good example of, there is a conceptual design plan and a design estimate. So we'll see how that plays out, but I think that that's the beginning of having that planning and the documents that you all are leaning towards asking for.
Congresswoman Edwards and then I'll go to Assistant Chief.
Well, I wasn't referring to that necessarily, but I will say that I thought when we appropriated $250,000 to a commission for a memorial, but that's how much of memorial was, that's, I mean, to my way of thinking, we had given that expression of, here's the amount of money that can be spent for that. But that's what we need to work through on this.
We do need to work through on prioritizing projects, and I don't want to get project specific right now and argue the merits or not merits of what you guys are talking about.
I understand, but what I'm saying is the process where you just come up with something, get it all on your own, and bring it in here and say, by the way, here it is. It's going to, in my instance, the health clinic, for example. By the way, here's a health clinic for $7 million. I mean, to me, the process is, first, how much is the Congress willing to put out to expend on that, and in what time frame? And then you know where to go.
Well, willingness is a good word, but also what type of cash flow do we have to support that is a consideration to me of this body, and I think we need to do better in the planning stage for our capital projects. We've just kind of thrown them out there since I've been on Congress, and they've just happened, and we've had the money to do so. So I agree with you. There's a lot we need to look at on capital assets and improvement. Assistant Chief Redcorn, and then Congressman Walker.
From what, two things, from what Congressman Walker said and explained is one part of what we already do over in our department. And we encourage that. We think that slows the rush to the podium. And I think there may even be, something before that. Is there a need for that rather than other procedures? But I would add, in addition to the scenario that Congressman Walker put forward, that's for new construction on a new building. We've got a lot of old buildings that need to be refurbished, or and historical structures that need to be refurbished. So that's remodel is a little bit different approach to that. And then under capital asset is purchase of real property. And so that's a different one. What I'm here to say is, if Congress is interested in making this a little bit more of a deliberate process, we support that. And that we would be happy to work with the sponsor in some discussions. I don't think it's going to take very long to put some collaborative effort into this to make sure that what this says works for the executive branch, which is to be required to
open. So thank you. Congressman Walker.
Well, Congresswoman Edwards just left the room, and I wanted to say before I made my comments that a lot of times it probably looks like I'm looking to counterpoint something she says and she looks to counterpoint something I say. But to counterpoint what she just said about setting up money for a museum fund, setting up money for a clinic fund, we support those things, but we need to know what they look like first. So the, or something similar to what I described allows that process. The first step is a conceptual design or something like that. Let's appropriate money for that. And once that's done, we've got a lot better idea of what we're looking at next, and that's what we're going to design, and then we appropriate money for that. That does eliminate the rush to the podium for million-dollar-plus projects, and I think we have an obligation to safeguard those types of expenditures or appropriations.
And I agree that that holds a very, very important part. But if we're going out there and spending a lot of money on conceptual designs, as we did the campus master plan, and we're not honoring those conceptual designs that we've spent $500,000 on, then there needs to be a mechanism, to me, in law, that we have a priority list that we're going to follow. And I think that predates that conceptual design cost. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, well, I've got to rebut that, because a conceptual design is a conceptual. It's not set in stone. There, after the conceptual design, then you have minimum design standards. And so we look at that conceptual design and say, well, that's not what ended up being done. What ended up being done was in accordance with the PS&E package. So again,
I understand and I get what you're saying and I agree with you, but until we find a way, a mechanism to plan and prioritize projects, capital projects, we might be wasting a lot of the Osage people's money. Go ahead.
Well, a conceptual design for a $50 million master campus plan is a big appropriation, but it's a big ultimate appropriation too. A conceptual design for a $2 million museum project is not a massive appropriation. It's somewhat minimal. So,
but it needs to fit within your campus master plan design.
Undoubtedly.
Right. Okay. That was my point.
And there already there is a part of the master campus plan that includes museum upgrades and improvements, expansion, etc.
I looked for that. Maybe important to it.
What I see, what I've observed in the past on other projects, and that would even include, I believe, the Pawhuska Arbor, there was a detailed architectural rendering of that project. I remember seeing concession stand, bathrooms. There was quite a bit of detail, more than we have in our general cost estimates, prior to our approving the appropriation. And what I've seen us do in the past is appropriate X amount of money for either an architectural mechanical estimate or perhaps conceptual design. How do we know how much that's going to be? I've always heard the fudge factor formula is about a tenth of the cost of the entire project. So if it was a $1 million project, you need roughly $100,000 for a conceptual design / architectural estimate. I would like to hope that that doesn't set the final cost of the project, but I mean, you have to start with a number somewhere, because it's going to require an appropriation to fund the design phase, even if it's just a conceptual design. So it would start with an appropriation to get more information, with no guarantee of funding for the entire project. And that's what we've had a hard time dealing with. You know, gee, if we could only skip that part, I know that money's there now, call it a race to the podium. It was the same thing last year, and it's not been the first time. It'll happen again, but we're going to have to be more patient and try to, again, I think, keep money on reserve for projects like that we think are worthy, that we think that the architectural or conceptual design is solid. It's something we can all live with and approve the appropriation or not. There's no guarantee that we're going to approve the appropriation, even if we approve the money for the design. I get your point to where we're going to be spending some of the people's money on possibly multiple estimates, but yet not necessarily guaranteed to fund them.
And that's not necessary. I wasn't opposed to that. I know that that is a necessary step that happens. That's my whole point. But it has to fit within a bigger picture of planning.
Yes.
And prioritizing. That's the point I was trying to make, and maybe my words got lost on my point, but that we have to have a big plan, an overarching plan of how we're heading forward with capital projects, which we haven't done. We've done it project by project by project, it seems to me, since I've been on Congress. So that's just my thought. Any more discussion, Congressman Supernaw?
This early in the session, so I thought while we're talking about this, it's something we might consider. I don't think it's in this capital improvements legislation, but you've all heard the supposedly law that the time spent on a project will expand to fill the time allowed for it. Well, you know, it happens in construction too. If you have so much money set aside for a job, they'll end up spending that much money. An example would be the construction of the Tulsa Casino. We estimated to be a certain amount of money. Well, it's all coming in under budget. So I was at a meeting the other day, and Marnell Architecture said, we're working on a design for a 1,000-plus parking garage. And I said, well, we didn't authorize a 1,000-plus parking garage. We authorized 840 or something like that. So if I were you, I wouldn't spend any money on that, because Congress didn't authorize that. You need to come back to Congress for further authorization. And he said, we're not spending any money on it. We're just designing it. I thought, well, I don't know how they're doing that without spending money. But anyway, the point is, do we have anything in there that prevents, if a project comes under budget, do we have any mechanism to see that money is not, the project just doesn't expand to spend the money allowed for it, or if it comes back to this budget?
Comes back.
Congressman Walker.
Well, let me take a stab at that. Those types of construction changes would fall within the Competitive Bidding Act. There's 10% thresholds for change orders and those types of things. So that's how I would answer that. If they're able to do some value engineering on a project and make an 850 parking garage and 1,000 space parking garage, I would consider those already safeguarded in the Competitive Bidding Act.
So your answer would be, don't try to put it in this bill, fall back to the Competitive Bidding Act and have somebody monitoring that all the time.
Yes, sir, and the reason I say so is because the Competitive Bidding Act is specific to construction.
Congressman Shaw.
You look at E, which remains in 1658, it's not modified or stricken. It states, monies appropriated for any capital projects may not be expended in excess of the original capital budget without additional approval of Congress. Which means if your original capital budget was for $3.8 million, we'll say $3.5 million, and you had $4 million appropriated, that $500,000, you might get a 10% allowance for change orders or other contingencies, but beyond that, that project can't be expanded beyond the original project to consume the rest of the appropriation. That was the purpose of that particular language.
That doesn't address what I brought up. That keeps the project expanding beyond the original amount appropriated. I'm saying if there's a cost savings during the project, instead of spending that money for something else, why didn't it come back to the nation? This is a different thing here. But you're suggesting we go back to the Competitive Bidding Act to correct that, not try to put it in here.
I wouldn't suggest we try to put it in here. I think that those types of details that you're talking about are identified and safeguarded, although maybe probably not perfect, but those are addressed in the Competitive Bidding Act through the change order process and utilizing unit pricing and those types of things. Or it's in there.
Okay. I accept that, but it's happening down here. It just happened to be there to catch it.
Thank you, Congressman. Any more discussion on this bill? Congressman Shaw.
I'm willing to postpone this, but what I'm hearing is that there was interest in expanding the definition of capital budget. There was interest in establishing additional requirements prior to an appropriation to the Capital Asset Improvement Fund, including conceptual design or PSNE or some sort of, and also from the executive branch that there are allowances made for projects that don't fit cleanly with those requirements. And so we can get some feedback from there. For example, a property purchase. There's no conceptual design necessarily for that. It's for future use.
Right.
So, but that's what I'm hearing from my colleagues here in the chambers that could be integrated.
Congresswoman Pratt, Speaker Pratt.
Okay, so I will go ahead and move to postpone ONCA 1736 to the call of the chair.
I have a motion on the floor.
Second.
With a second. Does your discussion fit in with postponement to the call of the chair?
I can wait until it's over, and then I'll just say something.
Okay. That'll be great. Okay, any discussion? All in favor say yes.
Yes, yes.
Any
yes.
Opposed? Okay, we are postponed. I will go ahead and relinquish the chair back to Congressman Shaw.
Thank you, Congressman Whitemore.
You want to do that?
Assistant Chief.
A brief comment. I think it's probably common sense that if we start putting a little bit more detail in the bill, that there be a threshold, a project size threshold. Obviously, if we're going to put playground equipment in Hominy, we don't need a conceptual drawing of that. I mean, there's probably certain size projects. There's a whole bunch of small things that we're going to bring to Congress in a couple of days. So I think they will probably exemplify places where we don't need a three-stage process to go buy a lot in Pawhuska, for instance. So there may be some of that that needs to go into the bill beyond the policy side.
Noted. Well, is there any other business or comment? If not, that's all we have on the agenda. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? No. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Your agenda,
I don't need it.
Recycle
this. Like we should avoid the